Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank the Lord for you, the listener, for this radio station, all the prayers and support. And so we praise God for many more years. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare and specifically the powers and principalities, the unseen world that we are in a battle with. And so you're going to want to listen to every word of this message. It's appropriate to every single Christian because we are in a battle, and even more so since the war in Israel has broken out. I believe the battle has intensified, and so every single person is feeling the pressure and the consequences of that activity over there in the Middle East. So turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, the unseen realm, the battle that we're in each and every day in the unseen realm. And so today, if you would, turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Before we get into the message, we're going to just give you a brief update on what's happening in the ministry. We have 25 children at home at the children's home now, and we've been trying to place a few. The government of Kenya is pushing to try to get children in the children's home placed into their villages, into a home, into a family, and they're eventually want to phase out within a few years all the children's homes in Kenya. But that is a big task. It's a big order because there aren't that many people in Kenya that want to take children into their home. They don't have any real concept of foster care here in Kenya. So we have the children at home. We're also working on a big anniversary celebration, 5 years at the Living Water Church of Makunda. And so if you could help support that, we want to have a big feed for all the people in our church and people from other churches. We also want to do a small crusade there in association with that at Makunda Village. And so if you could help support that, that's going to be the 19th of December, the last week before Christmas. And so we want to have an impact there in Makunda and make our presence known to that village. There's about 10,000 people or so, maybe 15,000 people in that village, and many children, many young people. And so we want to make an impact in that village because primarily it's a Muslim village, and many people there don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord. They have ideas about him, but they don't know him. And so we are planted there to make an impact on the people of Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And this is a big subject. And we've dealt with it several times before, maybe many times here on the radio broadcast. But I really feel like we need to hit it again because of the war going on in Israel and in Palestine, and many people are feeling the pressure from that war. Many people are feeling the intensity that goes along with a war like this, and I really truly believe that the powers and principalities over that region, over Israel, the powers and principalities are stirred up like they haven't been maybe ever. I don't know. I suppose as we get into the end time scenarios and people are talking about the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and the end time events of the tribulation, as we get into that, the intensity of the end times increases. The intensity becomes more apparent to every single person all across the earth. You don't even have to be close to the epicenter of this battle to feel the effects of it. We're feeling it here in Kenya. Well, we're primarily in a Muslim area here in Kenya, and so the effects of the battle are felt by every single person, man, woman, or child across the earth. And so we need to know about the battle that we're in, and we need to know how to prepare and how to go forward in victory in the battle that we're in. So if you have your Bible, turn it to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil." Well, the schemes and the wiles of the devil are just the scheming and the plots and plans, the wicked, evil plots and plans of the enemy to take you down, take me down, take down the plan of God, the kingdom of God, because the devil hates you. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, "I came to give you life and to give you life abundantly." And so the thief has a plan. His plan is to steal from you the destiny and the plans of God for your life. And the thief will do everything he can. And he starts in on you when you're a child. He starts in on you when you feel like you are secure, when you have pride and feel like things are going good in your life and that you have control over your life, the thief will come and he will try to destroy you. He will try to take you out of your destiny, out of your calling, move you away from the plans of God that God has for you. And Jesus said, "I came to give you life abundantly." Well, you know that's the opposite of the thief's plan. Jesus has a plan of prosperity. He has a plan of blessings. He has a plan and a hope and a future for you, and his plan will not harm you. His plan will bless you. And so you need to stay close to the plan of Jesus. First, you need to find out what it is. Then you need to move into it and stay close to it and walk in that plan all the days of your life. Well, the devil is always scheming. He can't create anything on his own, but he can mimic and he can counterfeit, he can copy, he can steal what somebody else has. He has a hierarchy, just like God has a hierarchy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know about the Trinity, and the devil has that Trinity. The devil himself, Satan, and the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophets. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 13. And so the devil has his hierarchy, and then Paul goes on to explain about that hierarchy here in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts or spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so he lists four different entities there that make up the devil's hierarchy. He lists powers, he lists principalities, he lists the rulers of darkness of this age, and then lastly, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness or the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, the powers are the most powerful of the devil's kingdom. They are the ones that are established or set up to cover whole areas of the earth, whole nations, whole regions, whole districts. They are very powerful, and the powers and principalities work through human beings who have been placed in office either through election or through a military coup like we have here in Africa occasionally. And these powers and principalities represent the devil. They represent the attitude, the thoughts, the actions of the devil in those places. They're spiritual forces, spiritual entities that work through human beings that are set up in political office and set up to rule and govern over nations of the earth. And so we have powers, that's the highest ranking. We have principalities, that's the second highest ranking. Then we have the rulers of darkness in this age. That's the entities right below the powers and principalities. And then we have the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that is, I interpret that to be the demons and the demons are the entities that attack you on a daily basis. They torment you, sometimes can cause illness, sometimes cause sickness, even death. And the demons are sent out by witch doctors. The demons are sent out sometimes by Satan himself and people who do the work of the devil. And so these powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, then make up the hierarchy of the kingdom of the devil. So when you get in a battle with another human being, whether it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's somebody who just doesn't like you at work, somebody you're in contention with at work, it could be one of your children, one of your teenagers, you're not battling the flesh and the blood. You're not battling what you see with your natural eyes. What you're battling is the spirit realm. What you're battling are all of these entities, primarily demons, the last ones, but also you're battling powers and principalities, because these powers and principalities, they shape the attitudes, they shape the culture, they shape the thinking of just about everybody in the culture. And so every culture has attitudes, has cultural things that go on in that culture that represent the work of the devil. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And he said, never mind, I have overcome the world. In other words, through Jesus Christ, we can overcome the cultural battles that we see developing in every nation. And some of them are not just developing, they're already developed. They've been in a culture for many centuries. Sometimes we have certain ones here in Kenya that are much more evident, much more obvious, and much more repulsive and much more influential in this culture than what you see in the United States of America. In the U.S., we have certain cultural identifiable demonic things going on in the U.S., and they're different than that in Africa, different than that in Kenya. We have very open and obvious practicing of witchcraft here in Kenya. They openly advertise, openly display their wares. You can see witches walking up and down the street every day here in Mumias. And so it is a different set of powers and principalities and different set of demons here. But primarily the demons that go with you and harass you and torment you on a daily basis are familiar spirits that have been with your family, been tracking your family, following your family, disrupting your family, and they have now come to attack, torment, and harass you because they know you very well, because they have been tracking you for since your birth and your family for many centuries. Well, Paul goes on to say here in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Well, we are in the evil day. Beloved, it's going to get more evil. We're not at the pinnacle. We're not at the apex of the evil day. That will come even later as we barrel towards the end time, as we go towards the rapture and the events of the end days, as we read about them in the book of Revelation. But I believe that the church, those who call themselves the called out ones, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, I believe that we are going to be raptured out of here. I'm not going to teach on the rapture today and all of the doctrinal things that have to do with that. But I believe that the church is raptured out before the final events of the tribulation. And so we are not going to be subject to the ultimate wrath, but we are in the evil day. Violence is everywhere. Perversion is everywhere. Sexual immorality is everywhere. And witchcraft is everywhere. I'm speaking primarily of Kenya here now. And so this is the evil day, and Paul encourages you to stand. If you are a believer, listen very carefully. If you are a believer and somebody in the past told you that being a Christian was going to be a cakewalk in the park and everything was going to be hunky-dory, and when you pray, you're going to have a new car sitting out there in your driveway the next day. Beloved, you can just cancel all that stuff. Praise God, I hope you get a new car. But that isn't primarily the way it works in the kingdom of God. It's not primarily to bless you with lots and lots of nice material things, although that may come, although that may be a part of the blessing, but it's only a small part. When God says he wants to prosper you and bless you, that primarily means in the spirit realm, you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, you're going to have fruits of the Spirit that are displayed in your life, that are part and parcel of your life. And those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, those will be evident in your life. They will be the result of your walk with the Lord. And whether or not you have a nice car, a nice house, a nice cabin in the mountains, all those things are nice. I bless the people that have those things, but that isn't the primary reason that you walk with the Lord. That isn't the primary reason that you continue to bless the Lord with your life, with your work, with your money, with your resources and your talent. It's just to be in the presence of God, to be doing his will, to be doing his work, and know that you're walking in your destiny and your calling. So Paul says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So that's the first piece of the armor that he talks about, the belt of truth. Jesus is the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the truth. He will also reveal the truth to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus reveals the truth. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When you have the truth and you know the truth, you have freedom. You're not afraid of death anymore. Death doesn't scare you. Death doesn't hold you down. When you are free and you know the power of God in your life, you know the destiny and the calling that the Lord has for you, then you have the truth and you have the blessings of knowing that you're walking in the truth. And so that is the belt of truth. And then after that, he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that breastplate fits over your internal organs, over your liver, over your stomach, over your heart. Out of your heart comes the issues of life, the Bible tells us. The heart is the seat of passion. You have a heart to do your work. You have a heart to do God's will. You love someone with all your heart. And so when your heart is protected, the inner organs and the heart then protect that passion, that fire, that desire to do the will of God in your life. So that breastplate of righteousness, righteousness exalts a nation. And righteousness also exalts an individual in a nation. And so you have that breastplate of righteousness over your chest to protect your inner organs and your heart. Then in verse 15, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Well, beloved, when you put those shoes of peace on, wherever you go, you should bring peace into a situation. Wherever you go, and there's tension everywhere, there's tension in your family, there's tension in your workplace, there's tension in your church, everywhere you go, when you put on those shoes of peace, you should bring peace into that situation, and you should bring a calming effect, and you should have peace in your own life. And Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When you have the peace of God in your life and the peace of Jesus Christ in your life, you can look at the situations in the world including things like this war in Israel, and you can look at God's word and you can see that God has a plan beyond this war. God has a plan beyond the wars and the rumors of wars, the earthquakes and the famines, and you can prepare your life and focus your life on Jesus Christ and focus on the peace that he wants to give you. Jesus said again, in this world you will have trouble, but never mind or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Through Jesus Christ, you can overcome the trials and the tribulations and the skirmishes and the turmoil that this world has. And I can tell you, if you're focused on the world and you don't know Jesus, you're going to have a lot of turmoil in your life, and you're not going to have peace, because this world cannot give you peace. Watching TV endlessly won't give you peace. Looking at the computer endlessly won't give you peace. Doing drugs or alcohol, trying to find peace of mind, will not give you peace. Chasing after people of the opposite sex to have more sex will not give you peace. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Through me, you will find peace. And beloved, you will find that true when you start to read the Bible, when you start to pray, when you join the fellowship, and you are walking in the plan that God has for you. You will start to find peace and fulfillment like you have never had in your life. And then in verse 16, Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Well, the shield of faith goes out in front of us. It's carried on your left arm, probably. It's out in front of you. And so the shield of faith, faith goes before you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so that faith is on your arm. It goes out before you. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you can't do anything in the kingdom. You have to believe for what you have not seen. You have to believe and call it into being and believe for things that will come when you step out in that faith. Believe for those things that God can provide that you don't have in your hand. And we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. When you get an idea, when the Holy Spirit gives you an idea, something you can do for the kingdom, you have to exercise your faith. You have to believe that it will come to pass. Maybe it's starting a ministry. Maybe it's getting provision to help someone, to feed the homeless, to feed the people that don't have any provision. Whenever God gives you an idea, the Holy Spirit prompts you, you have to step out in faith then and go ahead then and do it. And God will supply those things that you have believed for in faith. So the flaming darts of the evil one are coming against you all the time. They're hitting that shield of faith and bouncing off, because that shield of faith will protect you when you're moving forward in faith. That shield will protect you from the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation protects your mind. The thought life is the battlefield. The thought life is where you need to pull down every argument that raises itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That helmet of salvation protects your mind, keeps it from getting polluted by the world, polluted by the things you see, polluted by the things you hear. And so that helmet of salvation then protects your mind, because the mind is where the battlefield is, and every thought then becomes important. You either give your thoughts over to the devil and follow with actions toward the devil, or you give your thoughts over to Jesus and the kingdom of God, and you follow in that pattern and in that walk, giving your life over to God. And then after the helmet of salvation is the sword of the Spirit. That is the Bible. That's why I'm teaching God's word every Sunday. I believe that it is absolutely critical that you come to know God's word. Pick up a Bible every day, read it, get a time in your life when you can read God's Word and be alone with Him. Get that Bible, get those words of God hidden in your heart, that you can carry them wherever you go in your heart, and your response to every situation then will come from the Word of God. And so the sword of the Spirit is the offensive weapon. It's not a defensive weapon, it's an offensive weapon. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance. So pray in the Spirit, pray in the natural mind, the natural prayer, the natural words. Pray also in the Spirit and with the items of the gospel armor, those pieces of the gospel armor protecting your body, and praying in the Spirit, protecting yourself with the shield of faith, moving forward with that Word of God going ahead of you to attack the enemy. You will succeed, and the enemy will not have victory over you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoy these broadcasts, the teachings. We appreciate your support. We desire your support. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today. Let us know you're listening. Drop a line to us and write out a check for support, not only for this radio broadcast, but for the mission in Africa. We need your support, and we thank you for those who have supported us over the many years, the 18 years we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.